Thank you, Tammy, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. I hope it's okay if I keep on my jacket. It's a little cold in here. So today I'm going to talk to you about a study we did entitled A Randomized Trial to Increase Acceptance of Childhood Vaccines by Vaccine Hesitant Parents. I have no conflicts to disclose. So we probably know this as providers and as Tammy just alluded to, that increasingly parents are choosing to refuse or delay recommended vaccinations for their children. And unlike mammography in the clinical world, most pediatricians and family practitioners and internists are on board with vaccinations. There's maybe five out there that have differing opinions and sell books, but everyone's pretty much on board with that vaccines are necessary and important. And higher proportions of unvaccinated children are resulting in increased disease incidence among all individuals. So not just the unvaccinated children, but their school counterparts, because vaccination does not offer 100% protection from any of the vaccine-preventable diseases. So we're still at risk. And providers are challenged to address these vaccine concerns within the time-restricted clinical visit, which in private practice is generally 10 to 15 minutes. And one study by Amanda Dempsey and Allison Kemp in Colorado found that for parents with significant vaccine concerns, over half of the physicians, and this was pediatricians and family practitioners, spent 10 to 19 additional minutes discussing these concerns, and 8% spent greater than 20 minutes discussing these concerns. So our objective was to implement an efficient and an effective educational tool which decreases vaccine hesitancy among vaccine hesitant parents in the pediatric outpatient clinic setting. Our study design was a two-arm cluster randomized trial where each site was randomly assigned as either the intervention or control site by coin flip, and our settings were two private pediatric practices in Middle Tennessee. We recruited parents of two-week-old infants during the routine two-week well child check, and we excluded parents who were less than 18 or parents of infants who were less than 36 weeks gestational age. And also, because of our intervention was solely in English, we excluded non-English speaking parents. So for enrollment, parents completed a 15-question survey to determine if they were vaccine hesitant. And this survey is the Parent Attitudes About Childhood Vaccine Survey, or the PACV, and it was developed by Doug Opel in Washington State in 2011. The survey is scored from 0 to 100, where a score of 100 represents the most hesitant responses, and it was correlated with days of under-immunization among children aged, parents of kids aged 18 to 35 months of age. And if parents scored greater than 25, they were enrolled in our study. Our intervention included was basically an educational program, and the main piece to this program was an 8-minute educational video that we developed at Vanderbilt. And this video included common concerns of vaccine hesitant parents, which we elicited through literature review, and then we piloted before with some parents in the waiting rooms of offices before we developed the script, the final script for the video. It also included three first-person parental accounts of vaccine-preventable diseases, and these we got from the PKIDS, Parents of Kids of Infectious Diseases website. It has some really nice videos that you can use if you're looking for something like that. And the parents viewed this educational video during office visit downtime or at home if we didn't catch them before the provider came in for the 8 minutes or if they were in a rush to get home afterwards. They were also given two informational handouts. One was on how to find trustworthy medical information online. And we also developed this and tried to focus on directing parents to websites that ended with .edu or .gov and describing the challenges with .org websites. And then we provided them with a handout on vaccine risk-benefit information that was developed at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia Vaccine Education Center. Our control arm received routine care. So the video is available on YouTube. I was going to try to play it today, but then I learned there's not internet access, so I can't. But and I wasn't able to download it on my drive things. I'm not savvy enough, I guess. And it's also available on our Vanderbilt Vaccine Research Program website, but if you search for common concerns of vaccine hesitant parents or just common concerns of vaccines in Vanderbilt, you can find it. So as I mentioned, we enrolled at 2 weeks where both groups completed the PACV survey. And then immediately following the video, we asked the intervention group to complete an additional PACV survey to assess any immediate change from our intervention. Both groups completed the PACV at 2 months, and then vaccination status of the infants was assessed at 12 weeks. For our primary outcome, we anticipated that the PACV score would improve in both groups because of the Hawthorne effect, which all of you probably know. If you're being studied, you're more likely to improve on what you're being studied. And so our primary outcome was to look at the difference in the change in PACV scores from enrollment to 2 months between these two sites. A secondary outcome was to look at the on-time receipt of all recommended 2-month vaccines at 12 weeks, where any vaccine delayed was classified as not having on-time receipt, excluding the birth Hep B dose. So for our results, we approached 454 parents of 2-week-olds, and 369 were eligible or were interested in being screened for study participation. And we ended up enrolling 55 parents at the intervention site and 67 in the enrolled site. In the control site. There was no statistically significant difference in screening score between groups. It was about 37 to 40. And then most of our parents were female, and almost the mean age was 32 years of age for the parents. Although it was not statistically significant, 15% of our subjects self-reported as African American in our control group, compared with 2% in our intervention group. There was a significant difference in income between the groups, with 53% of the intervention group reporting incomes of greater than $75,000, compared to 41% in the control group preferring not to answer that question. There was also no difference in the level of education between groups, the number of children in the home, the prenatal care onset, or insurance status. So we found a statistically significant difference between the groups, which was less vaccine hesitancy in the intervention group compared to the control, a difference of 6.7 points. Whether that's clinically significant or not is a future study. And this difference held when we adjusted for race, income, and initial PACV score. And so our study was not powered to look at vaccine status, but as I mentioned, that was our secondary outcome, and there was no statistically significant difference in on-time vaccination status at 12 weeks between groups, where 12 of the infants in the control arm had not received at least one vaccine and 9 in the intervention arm. So as I mentioned previously, we looked at PACV scores in the intervention group, both at enrollment immediately after the video and at 2 months. And as you can see, the blue bar is the PACV score at enrollment, the median PACV score among intervention group parents. And then it dropped right after the intervention, which is the red bar, and it was stable with the green bar at 2 months. So we also asked parents where they find trustworthy vaccine information. And it probably won't surprise people in this room that most of our parents cited the healthcare provider as their one source of trustworthy vaccine information. And about 40% also cited the internet, and a quarter cited friends or family, and only about 14% cited the news or the media. So we conducted a post hoc analysis to determine if there was any association between selecting internet and on-time 2-month vaccination, and we found no association. So limitations of our study is that we, of course, only had 2 sites. There's also differences between the practices and the providers that we could not account for in our analysis. And as I mentioned, we weren't powered to detect vaccine uptake. Finally, there could be social desirability bias in that we were surveying and questioning parents in person, and the PACV was validated using a mailed survey. And as I mentioned, the Hawthorne effect could play into it. So in summary, this is the first intervention that we are aware of to address vaccine hesitancy at the individual level in the clinic setting. And we believe that this study supports that it's possible to modify perceptions of vaccine hesitant parents. And this improved attitude appeared to be stable over 2 months. However, larger populations powered to detect improved vaccine uptake are needed for future studies, and future studies could also look at additional quantitative measures such as length of provider visit. So I'd like to acknowledge my mentors and the sites and funders, and thank you.